an ad in a Kansas newspaper read as follows: I will listen to you talk without comment for 30 minutes for $5. It was not a hoax. The person was serious, which begs the question, did anybody call? You bet they called. It wasn't long till this individual was receiving 10 to 15 calls a day just to listen for 30 minutes to somebody for $5. You see, the pain of loneliness was so sharp that some people were willing to try anything for a half hour of companionship. The Oxford Dictionary dates the use of the word lonely in the sense of being sad to a poem by Byron in 1811. However, the noun loneliness did not appear in any dictionary until after World War II. While relatively a recent term, loneliness has plagued people for centuries. It's been referred to as the most devastating condition of this age. Mother Teresa referred to it and called it the leprosy of the West. We call it a roadblock preventing us from becoming who God intends us to be. And hopefully this morning we'll be discovering how hope can help us detour around that roadblock. I welcome you to worship on this first Sunday of Advent as we celebrate together. Those of you who are joining us on the radio or on Facebook, we're glad that you're with us today and pray God's blessings on you as we share these moments together. Very quickly, before we proceed into worship, let me remind you of a few things, some of which are listed on the back of your order of service. First of all, following worship today, some of the children will be at each of the exits and will be presenting you what I'm calling a gift. So I hope that you'll receive that from them as they leave and use it every day. The angel tree is down in the foyer by the elevator with some names on it. Several have already been taken, but there's still more there for you to take a tag for a name and then write the number on each package as you prepare it and attach that to the bag in which the gifts are in. The deadline for that is on the 15th of December. White Christmas boxes will be delivered on the 22nd. Volunteers are needed to fill and deliver those boxes. Food is being collected in the other foyer, other lobby, near the fellowship hall. So you can keep that in mind. Thank you for doing that. And thank you to those who came last Sunday and beautified the sanctuary for the Christmas season. Appreciate you doing that so much. The office will be closed on Friday the 2nd. Keep that in mind. And also the surveys, Pastor Search surveys are available to pick up. Ushers have them. You can pick those up and return them by, next Sunday. I've got so much stuff written here, it's running over into the prayer list I wrote down. Bring that by next Sunday. You can put it or bring it by the office. You can put it in an offering plate. You can give it to one of the Pastor Search team members. Whatever is easiest for you. But they have those this morning for you to take on your as you leave, if you have not already received one. Again, we're glad that you're here today, and we pray God's blessings on us as we begin this journey of Advent together. And with that in mind, we will now proceed into worship as we light the Advent wreath.
Today is the first Sunday in the season of Advent. Advent means coming, and in this season we prepare for the coming of Christ. We light the candles on the Advent wreath to remind us of the blessings that Christ brings to the world.
The Advent wreath includes many symbols. The wreath is in the circle with no beginning and no ending. This reminds us that there is no beginning and no ending to God, and that God's love and caring for us never ends. The green branches are a sign of ever new life. The candles tell us of the light shining to the world with Jesus Christ. The colors of the Advent candles remind us of our need for God's help to be the people we should be. The white candle, which we light on Christmas Eve, signifies the birth of Jesus.
Today we light the first candle, the candle of hope.
The prophet Jeremiah spoke words of hope to Israel. He talked about the promise of shalom and of a new beginning. We hope and pray for a world of peace and harmony.
Hope is like a flame that warms and comforts us. By lighting this candle, we celebrate the hope of the prophets and the hope we have in Jesus Christ.
We continue to hope in God's promise that Christ will continue to fill our lives and the life of the world with love and joy and peace. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the flame of hope. As we prepare for Christ's coming, help us to share our hope with others. Amen. Let us stand and sing stanza one of O Come, Emmanuel.
Walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined.
For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Today we remember the prophets of old who demanded to be heard, who dared to speak of a child to come, unexpected liberator of the people, vulnerable incarnation of the holiest of holies, a new name for God.
Today we give thanks for the prophets among us who bring to us surprising new visions of hope, who challenge us to think outside the box, who show us a future we never anticipated.
And Father, today we give you thanks for those who have come before us. We thank you for those, even now, who share the good news of Jesus Christ, both through word and deed. Now bless us now as we share this time of worship together. Guide our thoughts. May they be directed towards you, and may we leave here different than when we came in. In your Son's name I pray. Amen. Let us turn now to hymn number 83, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Thank you, and you may be seated. Our Old Testament reading today, did I skip something, Sarah? They left you off. I tell you what, come on. I'm nothing if not flexible. That's all right. We still have church.
Got a good group today. All right, we're going to do something different for the season of Advent. We're going to read this new book that I got. Anybody read the title for me? Plus the season of Advent. This is written in the same rhyme scheme as the famous poem, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." But "'Twas the Night Before Christmas" is about who? "'Twas the Night Before Christmas" is about Santa. We're not gonna be reading about Santa. So we're gonna read a few of these each week as we go through the season of Advent. "'Twas the season of Advent when all through the earth people were pausing to ponder Christ's birth. The bright lights were hung round the door frames with care in hopes that Christmas time soon would be here. And if you peeked into those houses at night, you'd see Christmas decor. What a wonderful sight. A tree sparkling brightly, all silver and green. And then, in the corner, a sweet manger scene. The story of Advent began long ago, before there were seasons or winter or snow. It began in the darkness before day or night, when God whispered softly, let there be light. Isaiah was nestled all snug in his bed, while visions from God danced round in his head. A baby was coming, God's own special son, to bring light from the darkness and love everyone. After Isaiah had told the whole town, he unrolled his scroll and wrote everything down. Now what would the name of this special boy be? But God whispered softly, you must wait and see. Let's say a prayer.
Dear God, thank you for this season of Advent. Thank you for inviting us on this wonderful adventure together when we will draw closer to Jesus. Thank you to the carpenter who made the manger. Be with us this Advent as we wait for the wonderful day when we will celebrate the birth of Jesus. Thank you for making our wonderful world and filling it with light. Thank you that when Jesus grew up, he shone the light of love wherever he went. Help us try to do that too. Thank you, God, for Isaiah, who listened to you all those years ago and wrote down those words of hope that we can still read and hear today. Thank you, God, for bringing the Prince of Peace into the world and for keeping your promise to Isaiah. Thank you for sending Emmanuel to us. Amen.
Thank you, Sarah. Our Old Testament reading today comes from Deuteronomy and Joshua. I'll be reading first Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8, but I'm going to back up to verse 7. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and bold, for you are the one who will go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to you, their ancestors, to give them, and you will put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." And then over in Joshua chapter 1, reading verse 9, "I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we go, prepare to go to the Lord in prayer this morning, let's remember Janie Smith, who's still at Duke awaiting a heart transplant. We want to remember the family of Louise Howard, who passed away on the 24th. Let's also continue to pray for Tommy Forbes, for Verly Rainey. Genevieve Broadhead was taken to the hospital this past week. Let's remember her and Chris. I've already mentioned Janie Smith. Also on the back of your order of service, you see those from our membership who can't be here and worship with us. Let's remember these folks, and I'll invite you to take a time of silence now and pray for these that I've mentioned, plus these whose names are listed here before you as we spend some moments in silent prayer. Let us pray together. We're here again, Father, in this place to worship, to sing your praise, to bring our petitions, to share our joy. We begin this journey of Advent again this year. A new beginning, in a sense. And Father, I pray that as we start this journey together, that you'll forgive us where so much has gotten in the way of the hope and the joy and the peace, Father, that we'll be reflecting on over the coming weeks. Most importantly, Lord, today, help us remember our hope that is in you. Father, that you will make yourself real to us. But not only that, Lord, but you will make your presence known to these whose names were just called. Each one has a specific need. Some are physical, some are emotional. Father, some perhaps seem like they're at the end of their rope. But Father, you know that there is no end of our rope when our hope is in you. So God, I pray that each one will feel a sense of your presence today. knowing that someone or ones are praying for them, even at this moment. Father, we do thank you for this season of the year. And I pray that as we journey through it over these next weeks, that we will not allow ourselves to get caught up in the stuff that gets in the way of the true celebration of the birth of your Son, Jesus. So God, continue to bless us now in this time together. And then, Lord, may each day when we arise be a day that we celebrate and remember not only the birth of your Son, but the reason why he came was to free us from eternal death through his sacrifice. And because of that, we'll give you praise and thanksgiving each day. In your Son's name, amen. I invite you to stand for our hymn of thanksgiving, hymn number 99, View the Present Through the Promise. These words from 1 Timothy, Paul speaking, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Scripture consistently reminds us that this world isn't our home. Instead, we look forward to a heavenly blessing and a future treasure in the kingdom of God. So we should take care to be generous and to share what we have with others. Whatever we store up in the form of possessions on earth ultimately will not matter. So let's be generous in our giving. Amen. You may be seated.
Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, as you fed 5,000 from the gifts of a young boy, we pray that you will transform our gifts to spiritually feed the many spiritually hungry souls throughout the ministry and mission of this church. Father, have your will in its use, and may we always be good stewards of what we have. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
Church bells ring, people celebrating the Lord of the King, shouting Hosanna till the heavens ring. Christmas is coming, let the church bells ring. Christmas is coming, Mary's baby boy, bringing us a message of comfort and joy. Glory, hallelujah, what a wonderful thing. Christmas is coming, let the church bells ring. Glory, fill the heavens. Music, fill the night. Church bells ring, people celebrating the birth of a king, shouting Hosanna till the heavens ring. Christmas is coming, let the church bells ring.
Our New Testament lesson this morning is from 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 7. Very familiar verse. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Again, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let me share with you a few more verses here. Genesis 2:18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is right for him." Then from Psalm 139 we read, "Where can I go to get away from your spirit? Where can I run from you? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I lie down in the grave, you are there. If I rise with the sun in the east and settle in the west beyond the sea, even there you would guide with your right hand. You would hold me." Matthew 28, the latter part of verse 20. "I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." These passages are examples assuring us that we are never, ever alone. We are never, ever alone. Never. Sometimes we think we are, but we're not. God is with us constantly, even when we don't realize it. Great author and pastor Barbara Brown Taylor, said this, quote, "Sometimes God is so obvious you can see it for miles. At other times you have to dust for fingerprints." And that's true. Sometimes it's easy to see how God is present. But sometimes we can't see it until after the fact. And we get down the road a piece and we turn around, yeah, I can see where God was in the middle of that. You see, it's that way because of our connection with God. And because of that connection, the Christian is really never alone. Second, those scriptures remind us of the value of physical aloneness. That physical aloneness can be constructive times of growth. It allows us to have focused time with God, an opportunity to develop our relationship with Him. Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. We don't like being still. It's almost like we've reverted back to when we were like three. You know? We don't like being still. We've got to have something going on all the time. It went against me a lot because I have music playing all the time. I cannot, before I retired, if you came to see me at Farmville and you walked in my office, you'd hear classical music playing. I turned it on from 7:30 in the morning when I got there until I shut it off in the afternoon. I cannot study or work when it's quiet because my mind starts wandering off everywhere. You know, I often thought when I was growing up, I was ADD. And, you know, we didn't know what that was back when I was in school. The prescription for ADD was you better get your grades up or else. You know? "But Dad, I'm ADD." "I'll show you ADD." But, you know, I really think I did that because I have to have something. It just keeps me focused. I don't focus on what's being played. And I don't normally listen to vocal music when I'm working. It's just instrumental music. It just gives me a sense of calmness. When I was in seminary at Richmond working on my D-Men, I'd go over to the library at Union Seminary, which is across the street, and I'd sit in there and try to read, and after 10 minutes, I'd be asleep. I just could not. It was just too quiet. I can't do it. So we feel like we've got to have this stuff going on, but sometimes it's not always the best. God created us to be in relationship with Him as well as each other, but being alone for quiet times of prayer and meditation is actually the opposite of being lonely. 19th century author Ida Scott Taylor wrote this, "One day at a time, this is enough. Do not look back and grieve the past, for it's gone. Do not be troubled about the future, for it has not yet come. Live in the present and make it so beautiful it'll be worth remembering." Live in the present and make it so beautiful it'll be worth remembering. It's times of aloneness that happens. But during those times of loneliness, please understand the distinction between aloneness and loneliness. We'll get to it in a second. We are to remember the presence of God, to reach out to our connection, not only with Him, but with other Christians, and to use those times for cultivating our soul. And all of this gives us hope to navigate around the loneliness roadblock, the last roadblock that we'll be talking about during this series. But to use hope and to understand what that means, we have to have an understanding of what hope is. Most people understand hope as just simply wishful thinking. I hope something will happen. For ECU fans, I hope they will win yesterday. You know? This is not what the Bible means by hope. The biblical definition of hope is confident expectation. Confident expectation. Hope is a firm assurance regarding things that are unclear and unknown. That is what hope is biblically. It's a fundamental component of life, a life of faith. For without hope, life loses meaning. Read stories of the Jews during the Holocaust in concentration camps. The hope they held on to of liberation. Not concerned about whether they were going to die, necessarily. The hope they had that they would be free at some point. That's that confident expectation. Hope is what, hope in what we believe can give us the foundation to withstand whatever storms we face. It can provide many advantages, causing us to soar to the heights, as well as sustain us in the more difficult times, providing a good foundation for our spiritual growth. So what are some ways that this hope can move us around this roadblock of loneliness? Well, first, I think, we find hope when we practice the presence of God in our daily lives. We practice the presence of God in our daily lives. A family moved to a new neighborhood not far from a church, and after the first Sunday's visit to that church, the little girl in the car on the way home said to her parents, "We're lucky to live in the same neighborhood as God." An antidote for loneliness is cultivating a relationship with God through prayer and meditation on Scripture. Now, don't freak out about meditation. I'm Baptist. When I was a kid, if you said meditation in a Baptist church, they thought you were trying to bring in some sort of Eastern religion or something. It's not what it is. It's not what it is at all. When we meditate on Scripture, we put ourselves in the story. We make it real to us. And to do that, we don't read it to read it, we read it to live it, to feel it, to be a part of it. Keeping our focus on God, being aware of His presence, being in a constant state of listening as well as talking. That's the other thing we're poor at, isn't it? We spend all our time talking to God and not enough time just listening to what He has to say. But these things, these practices enable us to experience the presence of God each day. Remembering at a time, sometimes He speaks to us through others. Remember the story of Balaam and his donkey? Everybody do this. Even if you don't remember it, do this anyway. Balaam wasn't doing what God wanted him to do, and he tried to get his donkey to go a certain way, and the donkey tried to knock him off his saddle. And he started whipping the donkey. And the donkey said to him, "Why are you doing this to me?" And it was God speaking through a donkey. So, you know, don't put down, I had a seminary professor one time said, you know, don't put down TV preachers if they're preaching the gospel. The gospel is the gospel. And he said, don't forget, God spoke through a donkey one time. God speaks to us in a lot of different ways. It could be through somebody who's not even a Christian, who doesn't even know that God's using them. But we have to keep our focus on Him and be aware and sensitive to that. We have to have to practice His presence in our daily lives. Second, hope helps us develop a proper understanding of loneliness. Now, this is where we get into the difference. Loneliness is not the same as being alone. Remember that. Loneliness is not the same as being alone. Aloneness, being alone, is physical. Loneliness is psychological. Aloneness is physical. Loneliness is psychological. For you see, one can be alone and yet not be lonely. Are you with me? You can be alone and yet you're not lonely. But on the other hand, a person can be lonely and not alone. People can be lonely in the middle of a church congregation on a Sunday morning at the Murfreesboro Baptist Church on the first Sunday of Advent. Henry David Thoreau once defined a city life as a million people being lonesome together. A million people being lonesome or lonely together. We need to realize that loneliness is not the same thing as solitude. Loneliness is the negative psychological condition, while solitude is positive. If you've ever read any of Henry Nouwen's books, he speaks a lot about solitude and quiet and meditating on the scriptures. Loneliness deals with pain of being alone, while solitude deals with the glory of being alone. So we need a good understanding of the difference between loneliness and solitude. We can be lonely in a crowd, but in solitude, we're just alone, but not lonely, because God is with us. Third, hope leads us to do for others. We experience hope when we change focusing on our internal feelings of loneliness with the internal focus to save our own lives, to becoming focused on what's going on around us. Focused on what's going on around us, inspiring us to help, to share our hope with others who are struggling. How do we do that? We find a family in our community that needs assistance. We volunteered to take the White Christmas. We do things like that. Get the focus off ourselves and onto others. Someone once said, mirrors and windows are both made of glass, but they serve two distinctly different purposes. A window allows you to see out, to see the world, to see the others, to get a perspective on life, while a mirror, on the other hand, focuses on your preoccupation with yourself. Have you ever seen so many people that take selfies of themselves? It's incredible. You know, some people just walk around like this all the time, you know, and they're just taking pictures of all the time. I mean, I'm a good-looking guy, but I don't do that all the time. I'm really not. I'm just kidding. But mirrors focus on us. Turn the little camera around. It focuses on us, does it not? While windows allow us to see others and their needs and their desires and their struggles. Hope, I would suggest to you then, helps us to exchange our mirrors for windows to see out, to see the hurt, the injustice, the need, the joy, the happiness all around us. And fourthly, hope informs us to remember that connectedness I spoke of earlier. We are not only through Christ in relationship with God, we are also in relationship with one another, as revealed throughout the New Testament. When we experience loneliness, we must remember that our hope is in Christ. The antidote for our loneliness and our connectedness is our connectedness with God and with each other. And that's the argument, that's the response to the notion that some people have, well, I don't need to go to church to worship God. Well, yeah, you do. In some respects. Now, you can worship without being in this room. But the whole point is connectedness, vertically with God and horizontally with one another. And we miss that. Bless your heart if you're watching this morning. You can't be here. I know some of you cannot. But let me encourage you, if you can. I mean, I know, look, I remember after my retirement during the pandemic, it was really neat to sit at the kitchen table with my coffee and watch service online. But the only people I had to talk to was my wife. And I was the only person she had to talk to. And we talked to each other all the time, which is not a bad thing. But we need that interaction with each other. So let me encourage you to come and join us when you can.
We'd love to have you. Those of you who cannot, know you're in our prayers. And that's part of what, that's part of the struggle that we know that you're having, and we pray for you in that. But it's that connectedness is what keeps us from those times of loneliness that we experience, and we all do. Remember, sometimes we need to be alone, because it's only by being alone that we can get to know God in a more intimate way. To keep our aloneness, however, from becoming loneliness, let's remember that hope in our practicing the presence of God in our daily living keeps us from experiencing that loneliness and helps us realize that we are not, in fact, alone. That hope drives us from loneliness to an appreciation for what solitude is, the quiet where we can reflect and pray and listen. And the hope also drives us to do for others, reinforcing the connectiveness that we have not only for each other, but for those who are not part of the family of God, who really need it more than we do. Amen. Let us pray. Omnipresent God, we do not ask that you be present with us, for we are never out of your presence. Help us instead to recognize that presence and to reveal in your presence, for in knowing you better, we truly know ourselves. Forgive us when we ask you to remove the very thing that you may be using to make us more like you. Grant it be so, Father. Help us to change our mirrors into windows, realizing that our hope in you is a hope that we're not to keep to ourselves, but to share with the world sorely in need. Give us courage that we need to do it. Give us the sensitivity of your spirit to see opportunities and find opportunities to share your hope during this season of Advent and beyond. In your name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of commitment and invitation is hymn number 96. I want to walk as a child of the light. If you're here today and you would like to come for prayer, whatever need, I'll be here at the front to receive you. Let us join together, standing as we sing hymn 96, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light.
Set the stars.
Thank you for your presence this morning. I pray you have a great week this week. Remember the difference between loneliness and being alone. Vast difference. Vast difference. Before our benediction, Brother TK has a word he'd like to share with us before we go.
Last weekend, I went to visit my cousin while I was in the Charlotte area. I was at least like my former pastor. Wish everybody hello. Have a good holiday. And thanks again for having me as a deacon. I told him that too.
When he said that we voted you in as a deacon, did he say he'd pray for the church?
Yeah.
you gotta learn my sense of humor there. Okay. We're glad you're a deacon. God bless you. And thanks for sharing that. Thanks for sharing that. He brought me back Lee's address. I haven't seen Lee in longer than I can remember. I think we were both youth ministers about the same time back when there was no gray hair involved. But I appreciate TK bringing me that contact information so I can kind of reconnect with him. Thank you, TK, for sharing that. Pray for one another this week as we continue or begin this journey, really, into Advent. And may God bless you as we share these weeks together. Let us pray. Father, we know we go nowhere by accident. Wherever we go, you are sending us there. Wherever we are, you've placed us there. We have a purpose for being there. Christ, who indwells us, has something he wants to do through us wherever we are. May we believe this and go in his grace and power. And with the peace and blessing of God, in Jesus' name, amen.